Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 11th chapter. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever eaten my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me as we entered into the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand at his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all of your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as it was at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that could stand in God's way?" When they had heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel are near to him. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
The second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have all passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, What is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father? So they were saying, What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly I say to you, You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believed that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Change is in the air, and it's all over in our readings for the day. It's that time of the church year, too, the fifth Sunday of Easter. We are approaching Pentecost. We have celebrated the resurrection for 5 weeks. We're coming to that moment when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the change in the world ushered in by Pentecost. I don't want to get into a history lesson from the pulpit, but I do want you to think about how different planet Earth is since Pentecost, since the Holy Ghost first descended on the apostles and disciples in the locked upper room, and they began proclaiming Christ out into the world. In our readings for today, Peter strugglingly learns to appreciate that the gospel is for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews among whom he grew up. It's for the whole world. The world is a fundamentally different place because Jesus was born into it. But it is a visibly different place because of the proclamation of the gospel throughout the world. Those of you who've been around the planet, who've gone different places, you'll know that those places where the gospel is being proclaimed or even has been proclaimed loudly and clearly in the past are noticeably different than those places where the gospel is not yet loudly and obviously proclaimed. There are parts of the world where the gospel is new to people, culturally new, historically new. And they are obviously unlike the places where the gospel is proclaimed. But what difference does it make to how you live, how you vote, what you read in the newspapers, what you do with your time and your money and your energy? The world is changed, and yet, when we see changes occurring around us, or within us, we get anxious about it. We're nervous. There's something in us that wants to control the world, change the world to make it the way we want it to be. We prepared ourselves today by contemplating our tendency towards covetousness, wanting what God has given others instead of enjoying and delighting in what he's given us. Think about your own life. The things you read in the newspapers, the things you hear. If you read newspapers, who reads newspapers? I read newspapers, but I'm sure none of you do. The things that you hear about. Think about those things. Our place as a nation in the world is being challenged again. Okay. Our relationship to our allies is really up for grabs. There's a lot of change taking place with the countries that we've thought have been our friends. Our own domestic policies are in flux. The rules for our economy seem to be in dispute. Church life is very different than it was when many of us came into the world. And it's changing before our eyes. I don't think anybody would have thought that the Pope in Rome would be from Chicago. I don't think that was on anyone's bingo card. Change. And if for some reason you've managed to go unscathed by all of those changes and they don't bother you, you're changing. Every day you're a little older, a little different, and some things come with that change. And they're not all delights. They're not all joys. How do you react to those changes? How do you feel about them? What do they move you to do? Do they make you defensive? On guard? Do they make you aggressive? interested in joining the bandwagon and joining the effort to make the changes you see taking place? And why do you feel that way? Let me tell you that at the root of all this analysis, all of this thinking, we don't like a lot of change. It shows us our weaknesses. It shows us our dependencies on others. We like to believe that we are all self-contained, autonomous, in control of our lives, and immune to whatever anybody else wants to do to us. Some of us know, to greater and lesser degrees, that that's not true. But we don't like to be reminded of it. We don't like to think of it that way. And there is something in us as fallen people that want to see the people with whom we're connected, to whom we're bound, and upon whom we depend, and who depend on us, as threats, as enemies. And that is the way of the world. That is absolutely the way of the world. To bully and jostle and threaten and intimidate, or possibly to curry favor with, to snuggle up to, in order to get what we want. Threats to be managed by one means or another. And if you think that's a geopolitical phenomenon, I just want you to think about your own households, your own lives, your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters. How often in the course of our daily lives do we feel under threat from the people we love and live with? And how often do we make them feel that way? As if they were our foes, as if they were challenges, instead of children of God who've been forgiven for all their sins and are invited to live in a new and different world in which the dead rise, in which sinners are made righteous, in which the Holy Ghost works in people to do things that those people would never otherwise do. How often do we turn our energies, the life that God has breathed into us, into an attempt to change each other, rather than celebrating, delighting in, and allowing God to change us? I live in an agency, an institution. I live deeply inside the U.S. Navy, the Department of Defense, and we are committed to changing the world as directed, with whatever means necessary. But I have committed my life to the one thing that actually does change the world. Nothing changes the world like the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven and that we are destined for resurrection and life everlasting. Nothing else has that power in the entire world, and you know this as believers, because nothing else has that power in your personal life. There is no philosophy that you can read from ancient Greeks or 19th century Germans that will give you the power to love your enemy. There isn't any. And there aren't many that ask you to do it. Aristotle and Plato did not teach us to love our enemies. Only Jesus comes into the world and says, hey, try this. And not only try this, but I'm going to do this with you whether you like it or not. Nobody else. Nobody else will teach you to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no philosophy that teaches you to do that. There's no political movement to do that. There's only the gospel. Nothing will make you want what God wants for you except the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, which comes to you by holy baptism, which comes to you through the preaching of the gospel, divided into law and gospel, which comes to you in the body and blood of Christ at the altar. Amen. Nothing else does these things. Nothing else can take their place. This is how the world changes. This is what has changed the world. Nothing else will bring the dead out of their tombs. There is no medicine, nor any kind of medical care program. There is no army that can raise the dead. There is no navy that can raise the dead. There is no policy or political endeavor that can grant life. But the gospel does. It alone promises eternal life and gives life to those of us living in this fallen world here and now in ways that we couldn't otherwise have or live. And yet, we don't gather around the preaching of that promise with the same kind of energy or passion or even emotion with which we gather around our various news feeds and news outlets, interested to hear what insignificant changes are taking place in the kingdoms of the world that are 100% going to pass away, at the expense of hearing about what is changing the world we live in, one soul at a time, in ways that will never be undone. Our text has this promise: the world is passing away. The world will pass away. Behold, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. I am creating all things new. Like each of us, this world suffers under the weight of our sins. You ask yourselves why bad things happen? It's because we do bad things all the time. That's why bad things happen. Because we do them. This is not news. This should not surprise us. It does, though. Why do bad things happen? Because we do bad things. And all of creation suffers under the weight of our sinfulness. All of it. We sang, spoke, read in the introit all of the things that are intended to praise God and delight in their existence. Kings and princes, little children, stars, moons, planets, everything is meant to rejoice in its existence. We don't rejoice in our existence, though. We're dissatisfied with it, and we want to change it to make ourselves feel safer. But there is no threat to us. Christ says, behold, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Whatever it is you're afraid of, I have dealt with. I have forgiven your sins, which are the greatest threat to your existence. The existential threat you should be most afraid of is your own sinfulness. That's what's going to send you to hell. That's why you die. I've forgiven those sins. And I promise you will live forever with me in paradise, as he says to the thief on the cross. Despite your sins, they are forgiven by grace. Mercy, they say, is not getting what you deserve. So when Christ forgives our sins, that's a mercy. He has not given us what we deserve. Grace is being given what you do not deserve. And that is the promise of the resurrection, of life in heaven with our Creator. A gift beyond what we deserve, something we do not. Grace and mercy are our gifts from God, and grace and mercy are what make the world a different place. I want you to think, you have your bulletins with you, I want you to think about how our readings work together to proclaim the gospel and to offer us confidence in the goodness of God, which is what we doubt when we covet, which is what we doubt when we feel anxiety about something in a headline or something in our news feed. That's what we're dealing with, unbelief. Just look at the last line of each of our readings for today. First reading. Then to the Gentiles also, God granted repentance that leads to life. To the whole world, without distinction, we read from Peter, without distinction. I want you to think who the enemy of God's people is. Just the first image that comes to your mind. Who is the enemy? Thank you. It is not one another. Other people are not our enemies. They may be enemies to us, but we're not enemies to them. They may be enemies to Jesus, but Jesus is not an enemy to them. Amen. The devil, who prowls around seeking to devour us, is the enemy. When you see a human being, even a human being who hates you and has decided to be your enemy, know that that human being is being hunted and stalked by a lion and is probably not their best self at the moment. And hope that they see the same in you. A person hunted by a prowling lion, probably not at the top of their game right this second. Let's be merciful and gracious to each other. The devil is the enemy, the father of lies. And to everyone, God has given the gospel. Next, second reading. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You are not going to conquer the world. I don't want to mess with anybody's ambitions, but you are not going to conquer the world, right? It's already been done. You don't need to conquer the world. The world does not need any Alexanders. It does not need any Genghis Khans. It does not need any Julius Caesars. The world has already been conquered. It has a conqueror, and it is Jesus Christ. And there has never been a better option, and there will never be a better Lord. Finally, in case you thought maybe those two things weren't connected, take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Your world. Your fear, the thing you're afraid of, the guilt you feel, the embarrassment you have, the shame you feel, the doubts. When you worry about your daily bread, and you worry that somebody else is going to get in the way and prevent you from getting your daily bread, remember where your daily bread comes from. Your daily bread comes from God. It comes through one another, but it comes from God, and God will not be deterred in giving you your daily bread until he decides, in his own goodness, that it's time for you to stop eating daily bread and come to the wedding feast that has no end and eat nothing but the bread of life for all eternity. And if he decides that's not, great. Come, Lord Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But until then, know you're going to get your daily bread. Because it's a gift from God. In a world in which God gives life to you, to your neighbors. Even, the Catechism teaches us, to the wicked. Though we pray in this petition that he would lead us to know it. So that we can live differently. That is the difference between faith and damnation. Between life and death. That we know God. And we know where our daily bread comes from. We know these things, so we live differently. Why does it matter that you know where your daily bread comes from? Because you know who your daily bread comes from. And you know that it's assured to you. God will give you your daily bread until he decides to give you something even better than daily bread. And everything that goes with it, right? What goes into our daily bread? Shoes, house, home, cattle. A pious spouse, good government, trustworthy rulers, good friends, neighbors, you name it. Everything that supports the body and life. That's what goes into it. God is good. Amen. And it is the goodness of God that we doubt when we get anxious about change in ourselves or in the world. All we need to do is receive and delight. Our sins are forgiven. We don't do anything to forgive them. The world is conquered. We don't have to conquer it. We're not in opposition. We're here to announce release and liberty and salvation to the world, not to conquer. It's already been conquered. We have the privilege of living these kind of lives. Lives where we gather around the Word to hear the assurance of God's goodness to us, the assurance of His promises to us. We live these kind of lives where we gather around the altar and He gives us His own body and His own blood for the forgiveness of our sins, but also for the strengthening of our faith and for the knitting us together as His body on earth to live His way and to delight in His will. And we get to be shaped by the Holy Ghost working in us from baptism on. The new life breathed into us at the font makes us behave differently. And that's where our energy is. Our energy goes into receiving, hearing, delighting, and living in accordance with God's will. And letting our own will fall to the wayside. Because God wants in every single instance better for us than we want for ourselves. Whatever you want isn't necessarily bad, but I promise it's not as good as what God wants for you. You want good things. You want bread on the table for your family and your loved ones. You want peace. Good. Both good. You're not wrong for wanting those things. God wants more than that for you. He wants bread that leads to life everlasting in addition to your daily bread. He wants living waters that slake your thirst for righteousness, not just make you feel cool and hydrated. He wants more than you want. Whatever you want, no matter how good it is, you don't want enough. So relax and let God be God. Don't try to be God. That's how we got here. We got here trying to be God. I'm not sure. You know, the devil says you're holding out. He says that if we eat the fruit, we could be more like you. There is no way to be more like Him than to have Him make us in His image. And He has been born into the world as a man so that we can absolutely be in His image. He became one of us so that we can be like Him. If that is not a fundamental change to the world order, I don't know what we're talking about. God has become man that we may be divine. No president is going to do that. No premier will accomplish this. No emperor aims that high. There is no better good that can be done. And therefore, we can live less fearful, less anxious, less contentious lives. Nobody you live with is your enemy. Even if they think they are, you know better. God is not hostile to you. The world is full of tribulation, but in Him we have peace. And we can live that way. That is how evangelism takes place, by the way. People see that we live differently, and they want to know what's up. What's up? Tragedies come. You have the same griefs I have. But you don't grieve like those who have no hope. Where does that hope come from? And the only real duty we have as Christians is what? To always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. That's it. Whatever you thought was on your to-do list today, cross it off. That's all you got to do. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. And our hope is certain. A life of blessed union with one another and with God. The way we were meant to be. Without fear. Without tears. And it begins now. It's imperfect now. But we can feel the beginnings of it. We can feel that the world is not the same place. I began with history. I'll end with just an encouragement to look over history. Look at where the gospel has gone.
See how people have tried to live differently as a result. See where people have tried to give each other voice instead of use each other as materials. See where that struggle has taken place. It's worth the effort. But overall, I just want you to know that God means what he says when he says that in him we have peace. And that's how we close every sermon. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of heaven and earth, in the glorious resurrection of your Son, you have given the promise of our own resurrection. As we await the last day, calm our hearts and strengthen our faith through our sorrows. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who makes known to us all truth and keeps us in your word. Grant to us, O Lord, faithful pastors who will teach us your word and will serve us in your name. Give wisdom in the cure of souls to all military chaplains. Bless those preparing to serve your church in various ways, and inspire many to follow your call. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, as you began your good work in Madison, Maggie, Marta, and Livia, bring them to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to the confession of his name. Grant that through their confirmations, they may continue steadfast and victorious, endure any suffering and persecution for their Lord, and remain faithful until death. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you bless the anguish of childbirth with new life according to your good and gracious will. We give thanks for the birth of Valentine Maria to Mario and Kelly White. Sustain all mothers with child and those with young children. Bless your church, the mother of all your faithful children. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, bless our president, our governor, the Congress and legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Guide them to serve according to your will and for the common good of all. Raise up people of virtue who will defend our liberty. Protect those who defend us in the armed forces, even as you give peace to the nations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We thank you for the gifts you have given to Grace as she graduates from college. Bless her as she steps into new ventures. Help her to work with diligence and joy in service of others, and provide for her earthly and heavenly needs. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Alpha and Omega, you pledge to bring all things to their perfect consummation. You will bring heaven and earth
and banish sorrow, sin, and death. Sustain especially Bernie, Nancy, Diane, Amara, Tom, Marilyn, Lori, Julian, Jared, Donna, John, Lori, Evan, Donna, and Mary, and all who are now in any tribulation. By the comfort of your holy word, increase their faith and see them through their trials. Grant your peace to all who mourn, especially to the Farabaugh family, Robert, and all who sorrow at the death of Noah. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, prepare us now to receive with faith and thanksgiving Jesus' flesh for the life of the world, and his blood that cleanses us from all sin. Unite us, that we may believe and confess one faith, and bring us to that day when we shall be one people, together at the table of our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead. We pray that you would gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's psalm is Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one who came, even unto everlasting peace. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, and that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.